Rapid Fire. The Great War 100. Editor's note. Throughout the Great War's centennial, the American Legion magazine will publish excerpts from the letters of D.B. Bernard Ryan of Albion, New York, who served as an Army infantry officer and helped found American Legion Sherritt Post 35 in 1919. Honor and Remembrance, the Final Test of Our Nation. American EF, France, July 22, 1918. My very dear mother, surely somebody is profiting when we read the splendid reports which come to us in the newspapers during the last 2 or 3 days, and which I venture to say you are receiving in more detail from the New York Times than we are here. We do miss the Times. In fact, until 2 or 3 days ago, I have hardly read a newspaper since sailing. Today I have read a very glorious summary of achievement by our vanguard, and it is certainly encouraging. Cousin Tessie writes that she is doing more knitting for me. Please have her store what she has finished until I need it. It is beautiful, but I have enough of it, and they made us cut our kits down to 50 pounds. As to sending me anything in general, don't try it. But I would like some imperial cube cut, and a lot of it. It is the only pipe tobacco that pleases me, and it does not ruin my throat. We can now get, through canteens, American tobacco, cigarettes of the ordinary variety. Necessarily, I smoke much more than formerly. It seems to be part of the life. I was very careful in the few letters I did write you on the boat and since landing not to give any names of places, etc. As I read them, it is quite permissible to say to you that I was in England for a brief time. I saw Westminster Abbey, Whitechapel District, the Tower Bridge, the Life Guards, Buckingham Palace, and the new Victoria Monument. Took a tour about Hyde Park and up through Regent Street in a taxi. I also visited Canterbury Cathedral and its crumbling and musty crypt, and the tomb and scene of the murder of Thomas A. Becket. We attended Vespers in both Canterbury and Westminster. I also saw the Martello Towers, built to repel the invasion of Napoleon and never used because he turned back, and soon after came Austerlitz. Massive fortifications of another age, which could be easily battered down with one of the modern shells, the effects of many of which I have since seen. I have been up to the very front in a certain sector for instruction and observation only. I would like to tell you the troops that I was with so that you would know exactly to whom I refer when I speak of their splendid fighting spirit, and especially their great democracy. I would give more than I possess to have all of our officers and men instilled with that spirit and as much again to get the real sense of it back home. However, the true insight probably would never come to many, even if they had the chance to get it, because of their own selfishness or short-sightedness or lack of earnestness in their work. Don't regard me as pessimistic because I speak as just above. I really feel that many of us are getting real value out of the experience. My only hope now is that in spite of the great terror of the thing and the great sacrifice we are all making, you most of all, that the war will last long enough for us all to learn. It is the final test of our nation, of our manhood. We are glad we are in it. Your son, D. Bernard Ryan. Careers. Tell your career story. Whether writing your resume, LinkedIn profile, job search letters, or other career communications, your goal is to tell your career story as you want it to be known. What does that mean? Consider the following example for someone transitioning from a military to a civilian career. The candidate served in Air Force for 15 years, advancing through increasingly responsible leadership positions in ordnance training for troops deployed worldwide. Suppose the candidate had the opportunity to pursue one of three different career paths. Objective 1, staff training position with a defense contractor, where knowledge and training related specifically to ordnance and explosives is the most important thing to showcase. Objective 2, mid-level managerial position in distribution, transportation, or supply chain management, where the most important thing is the candidate's expertise in ordnance, explosives, and other sensitive materials. Objective 3, staff training position in a new industry, manufacturing, technology, or automotive, where their expertise in training, development, instructional materials, and related skills matter the most, and ordnance does not matter at all. This candidate's resume would differ widely based on the specific jobs and/or companies being targeted. What they would write, how they would write it, what skills and qualifications they would showcase, and what the resume would look like visually would vary significantly. Objective 1 requires an equal emphasis on both training and ordnance. Objective 2 needs to focus primarily on ordnance. Objective 3 demands a keen emphasis on training. This process is known as reweighting, to put the greatest attention on the information that matters most to each candidate's current career goals. Once you've identified your objective and clarified the skills, qualifications, and more that you want to highlight, you're ready to write. Don't forget to showcase achievements, projects, honors, awards, and other successes. Write tight, lean, and clean to keep your message on point. Eliminate unnecessary and irrelevant information. Integrate keywords that support your objective. Create a visually appealing presentation. Wendy Enelau is co-author of Modernize Your Resume, Get Noticed, Get Hired, and Expert Resumes for Military to Civilian Transitions. Centennial, Post 74, Wright City, Oklahoma. Since 1935, the year it received its initial charter, William Wright American Legion Post 74 has sponsored the Little Cheyenne, one of the oldest continuously running rodeos in the state. The rodeo was founded in 1933 and is held every July. On its centennial celebration page outline, Post 74's timeline includes decades of advertisements and posters for the event. Share your post's legacy. Upload stories, photos, and videos of your post's history on the Legion's Centennial Celebration website, www.legion.org/centennial. Education, GI Bill, and Study Abroad. Question: I registered for a study abroad class for a degree in international business from my university. I was told by the university that VA will pay all my tuition and fees since I am 100% eligible for post-9/11 GI Bill Chapter 33 benefits. Does that include my airfare and other incidentals for this class? Answer: VA will not pay for airfare, lodging, meals, or any third-party fees. If the study abroad class is required, VA will pay for fees that are specifically required for the class. If the university charges a flat rate, it must break down the airfare, meals, and lodging. If the university does not break down the fees, it should not charge VA any fees related to that class. Valerie Hefner is a Marine Corps veteran and member of American Legion Post 27 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Ask Valerie at legion.org. Personal Finance, USAA, registered trademark, How to Talk Money with Your Spouse. Focus on Finances, J.J. Montanaro. My wife and I are cut from a different cloth when it comes to decision-making. After a quick assessment, she's able to make snap calls that leave me wondering, how did she just do that? I feel obligated to carefully weigh all the variables, options, and second-order effects before making the call. Truth be known, I'm a bit of a waffler. However, when it comes to big money decisions, there's beauty in both our approaches. How do you and your spouse make big financial decisions? Here are 6 tips that might help you better navigate the next big decision you face. Do it together. In marriage, success hinges on good communication. If something big is under consideration, a job change, house purchase, major investment, the process should be a joint endeavor. Nothing has the potential to elicit hard feelings, resentment, and blame like one spouse taking matters into his or her own hands. Define what big means. Is $50 big? $500? $5,000? Depending on where you are in your relationship and your financial life, the number can be very different. Defining the big threshold as a couple will give you guardrails and the freedom to act independently without worrying about repercussions. Early in our marriage, big was little, and there were lots of conversations on purchases we would make today without a second thought. The other day, I bought another golf club. Years ago, it would have required a huddle. Take emotion out of the mix. Anyone who has been through some sort of sales training understands that emotion is a salesperson's friend. Find a way to tap the buyer's emotion and you're on the brink of a sale. As a couple, emotional decisions are your enemy. Establish a strategy that will blunt the emotional impact of a big decision. It could be a week-long cooling-off period before a big purchase. A meticulous look at your budget or any technique that helps you focus clearly on the benefits and drawbacks of the decision at hand. Crunch the numbers. Big financial decisions can have a major effect, good or bad, on your day-to-day budget, your ability to save and invest, and, of course, your debt picture. Don't make any move without honestly assessing the effect of that decision on your balance sheet and cash flow statement. Keep the big picture in mind. I hope you have your own set of short, medium, and long-term financial goals. If you don't, that should be your first order of business. That list of prioritized goals can be the ammunition you need to combat a poor financial decision. Just ask yourself a simple question: will this move jeopardize the attainment of our goals? Create your decision matrix. By no means sexy, your decision matrix can incorporate many of these tips on a single note card. By taking the time to evaluate all the criteria related to your decision, you could be eliminating much of the emotion around a decision, creating a time buffer, and, of course, keeping your goals front and center. Over the years, my wife and I have been able to mesh my tendency to overanalyze with her desire to make things happen quickly, and we found a sweet spot in our decision-making. Following these tips, I feel confident you and your partner will be able to work together to hit your stride, too. J.J. Montanaro is a certified financial planner with USAA, the American Legion's preferred provider of financial services. Submit questions for him online, www.legion.org/USAA/focus-on-finances. Active duty. Military metrics. 0.5% of the U.S. population serving on active duty, 1.29 million. 84% of Marine recruits age 20 or younger. 64% of enlisted recruits who come from middle-class backgrounds. 19% of enlisted recruits who come from impoverished neighborhoods. 17% of enlisted recruits who come from high-affluence neighborhoods. 16% of enlisted forces who are women. Magazine. Share your family's story of Legion leadership. As the American Legion readies to kick off its 15-month centennial celebration, it is looking for stories of extraordinary Legion service by generations of families. For example, many families have had 2 or 3 generations who have served as commanders at the same post, or spouses who are currently serving in post-leadership roles. Perhaps you or someone in your family is serving in a post-leadership role previously filled by other family members. To share your family's story of American Legion service and leadership, go to www.legiontown.org and select Family History. Upload a photo as well. Submissions will be reviewed by an editor and considered for publication on the national website, www.legion.org, and in the American Legion magazine. National Convention. Two-time Paralympian to MC Minneapolis Convention. Melissa Stockwell, a two-time Paralympian and former Army officer, will be Master of Ceremonies for the American Legion's 100th National Convention in Minneapolis this month. Stockwell is a Bronze Star and Purple Heart recipient and the first female soldier to lose a limb in the Iraq War. She is a motivational speaker and continues to compete in athletic events. Follow the convention online. The convention page on the American Legion's national website, www.legion.org/convention, includes information and resources to prepare attendees for the Legion's biggest annual event, as well as the latest stories and news. Several convention events will stream live at www.legion.org and www.facebook.com/AmericanLegionHQ. After the live stream, video will be available for playback at www.legion.org/LegionTV. Events, Eastern Time, include Color Guard Contests, 5 p.m. August 24th, Band Contest, 1 p.m. August 25th, Patriotic Memorial Service, 11 a.m. August 26th, General Sessions, Day 1, 8 a.m. August 28th, General Sessions, Day 2, 8 a.m., August 29th. General Sessions, Day 3, 8:30 a.m., August 30th. World War I era quilts on display. An exhibit by Quilts of Valor, a nonprofit organization that conducts events with the Legion to make and present quilts to veterans, will showcase World War I era quilts during the convention.